have three sessions, one in the break, and then just return to our talks. Our first talk this morning is by Dr. David Deline from UND, University of North Dakota. Got his PhD at University of Wyoming back in 1998, and has been at UND since 2001. And he's going to give us some information on analysis of CCN nuclide measurements conducting during the PoleCast project.
I'd like to first acknowledge Nicole Borch. She was an undergraduate student at UND that just completed her degree. In the fall, she did a lot of this work as part of her senior project for research scientists working in our department. So let's get started. This is one of the pictures from our PoleCast project in 2012. We've now done four of these projects in North Dakota to look at hydroscopic seeding. And in the last three projects, we had CCN measurements, fault quantization nutrient measurements, which are very important for quantifying which days have high CCN measurements, which ones are low, because we want to know that so we can stratify our data for our randomized seeding test. So, we conduct seeding tests where we look at the effects of hydroscopic seeding with a 4-metric radar, and we want to be able to see if the aerosol concentration of particular CCN will affect the performance of the hydroscopic work. So, and as another note, we want to know if surface-based measurements can be used to infer the crawl-based measurements that we make with aircraft, and determine how much day-to-day variations change in the next compared to regional scale changes constant, or does it change from one location to another. So to do that, we need to make measurements. I talked a lot about aerosols, and they're important for scattering absorption and radiation, chemical reactions, but what I'm very concerned about is how they affect the world. So we have two types of CCN counters that we've used. This is the University of Wyoming's type of counter, static horizontal thermal diffusion chamber instrument. And then this is the commercially available DMT cloud condensation nucleus counter. And in 2012, we started using the DMT counter along with the Wyoming counter. So just a little background, in case you don't know what I'm talking about when I say a CCN. Typically, particles are too small to detect them, are ones that act to form the solid droplets. We have an environment inside the instrument where we create a supersaturated environment, similar to what we have in a cloud. This is a load of particles, a cloud droplet size that is detectable by lasers. Detection, and we count the number concentration of each particle. Because it's the number concentration that determines what the number concentration is of the 12 droplets. So, what we've done is we put these on aircraft. This is our configuration of the Cessna 340 that we used in 2012. And what I'd like to point out is that we have a DMT CCN counter on the aircraft, along with our University of Wyoming counter here. So this is one that we borrowed from NCAR for this project. And we also had two counters at the surface, both Wyoming and a DMT counter. The University of Wyoming counter, we've been historically running it at a instrumental supersaturation 1%, atmospheric saturation about 0.6%. With the DMT counters, I ran them to red supersaturation spectrum, so we do ambient supersaturations of 0.2, 0.3, and 0.6. so we can get a spectrum and know what the supersaturation concentration is at any supersaturation. And then, of course, we have the hygroscopic curve on the air track. And we conduct these measurements in, when we do our randomized seeding test. As I mentioned, we also have this year surface measurements, mainly the CCN counters, which we had a different Wyoming counter here, and another DMT counter at the surface. So this was ran in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And along with this, these instruments are inside a room on top of Crickford Hall, where we have a volumetric radar. We have some sampling heads outside to bring the air into the instrument. So we mainly wanted to run the CCN counters, but we have some other instruments that were available that we could run at the same time. One was a CPC, which is a condensation particle counter, and I just told aerosol concentration. We have a SMPS system for measuring the size distribution of the aerosols. So we ran it from approximately 10 nanometers up to 800 nanometers. We have a PCAS instrument, which was also on the aircraft, which is an optical particle counter that microns in size. We have a TOM, which is a total mass measurement. It measures PM 2.5 particulate matter, less than 2.5 microns. And then in conjunction with some people in chemistry, we made some high volume filter samples, particularly to look at organic aerosols. So this is the chemistry. We correct them on filters, and then we can analyze the filters afterwards. We have done that analysis. We completed it, and we're in the, at least the preliminary stuff. Right now, we're running all the filters through the analysis, which takes like a month technician time. We ran the high volume sampler, 90 meters per minute, and we ran these 1 week samples. And there's some interesting stuff that there's a couple weeks in the beginning of July, very high concentration, also another one in October. We did our field project from the beginning to the beginning of August, but we took these surface measurements up until October. One of the things that I've discussed again is it's important to calibrate the CCN counters. The data I'm going to show today for DMT counters hasn't been fully calibrated. We're still working on that. We basically have a lab setup where we put all four counters in the lab before the project, and I'm working on it after the project here. We generate ammonium sulfate aerosols of a known size, and we run it through the counters to see when they activate to determine the supersaturation of the instrument. So it's very important to say, okay, if I've got the 0.6% supersaturation, it's 0.6 and not 0.4. So the most important thing is to get that supersaturation calibration correct. And also this will verify that all the instruments are measured the same, since we're putting them at different locations. And also we have two different types of counters, how well they compare. Okay, so once we got it calibrated, set up, we go out and take some aircraft flights. These are flights from 2010 and 2012. The operation is based out of Fargo, North Dakota. We have a volumetric radar in Grand Forks, and we fly typically within 100 kilometers of Grand Forks, and we do out of sea in North Dakota as opposed to Minnesota, Dakota, Minnesota state line. So we have quite a few flights on each one of these days, and I believe we had 17 cases for last summer, and 12 and 13 from the two previous projects. So, get into some of the CCN data. This is data from 2012. What I have here is the different days of the project for the different flights, July 2nd through the end of the project, July 29th, given here. And then I have the CCN counter measurements from the University of Wyoming counter. We ran this at a constant supersaturation of 1%. That was at the instrument supersaturation, which is about 1.6% ambient conditions. And we take measurements at 12 days. So we're flying around, making measurements, trying to find target candidates. And so I give you the time intervals here of when we took the measurements on each day. And then I show you the measurements that we make. We make measurements every 30 seconds. It takes us to make one CCN concentration measurement. And so I give you a distribution of the measurements. So again, we have the 5, 25, 50, 75, and 95 percentile of all these measurements we make in this time period. And then for reference here, I give you about a 1200. This is not an average or a mean value for all our measurements. This is kind of a distinguishing line between high and low. Because one of the things we want to look at is to classify, we have high concentrations of measurements like we did on July 8th, or relatively low measurements. We kind of want to classify this in terms of high and low concentrations. And 1200 is kind of a good number to look at. So sometimes you see concentrations as low as 700-800, but we can get up here where we have almost 2,000. So we want to look and see if the effect of the season is different, for example, on July 9th as opposed to July 8th. So we can quantify these measures. So these are ones from 2012. We've done this in 2010. So these are the measurements we made for them quite clean. Food and pollen targets. So again, 1200 line. There's different sites, again in North Dakota. You see now we don't have one about 1200. There are quite a few of these up above, but we do have one here at 1600. So we get higher or lower concentrations here. And then we have the 2008 measurement. So again, we have one day here that's pretty low. So here we got 200. So these are all made with the same color, right, the same way. And you can see the variations that we have. And one of the things I'll point out is that this will show you the variations that we apply around the blank at 12 days. So you can see that this is distinctly different on this day than the next one. And how much the variation is on one day versus how much it is from one day to the next. So there's a lot more variation day to day than it is from one particular day. The question of if surface measurements can be used, one of the things we can do and get away from the idea that we have to use polymers is just look at on our takeoffs and landings. We usually, we take off, we'll go up, and get at least to 12 days, if not above, and see how the CCN concentration changes with altitude. So this is GPS altitude above the ground, and then I have ascent and descent profiles. Again, the CCN concentration, and I always make my measurements ascent and descent pressure. So we adjust and remove the effects of changes just because we have changes in pressure. You take the same concentration, the number concentration, and you raise that particle up from 1,000 to 500 millibars, you just double the concentration. So you can see a decrease in the concentration just because of the changes in pressure. So this is like a potential temperature. So any changes you see here are actually changes that result in increases or decreases in the concentration. Solid lines are ascents, and then the dashed lines are descents. Busy clock here, you can see there is variations in each of the profiles, but if you look at this one, it goes up and down, but the high measurements are the same, similar as the low measurements. I only show the 2012 data here. If you look back at auto profiles, there's only one or two days out of the approximately 50 profiles I have now that really show a difference between the surface and the 12 days. For more information, we have a poster that we show every individual profile that we presented at the AMS conference in January. So that's on the website if you want to take a look at that to see that in more detail. So one of the questions I want to try to ask and understand is, if you want to predict CCN concentrations at 12 days, for example, for operational programs, you know, ideally we would take measurements in the morning and help that infer what we would do for operations. You know, if there's high CCN concentrations in the afternoon, you probably want to make sure you do the hydroscopic seeding it would be more effective. So, and then from a science point of view, to understand the CCN, why does it change from one day on July 8th to a high concentration to July 9th and such a low concentration? You know, fundamentally what is happening in the atmosphere to do this. So I'm going to show you some plots here looking at July 8th and July 9th. And one of the things that is possible, you can see that there would be differences of profile. This is July 8th profile again, just showing your concentration. It's pretty constant, but we have the same high concentration here up above that we do at the surface. Okay, at least on these flights, they seem to be pretty good. And there's quite a bit of variability here with the individual measurements, going between 1500 and 2500 number per cubic centimeter. Based on the temperature of 5 degrees and the surface of 14 Celsius. So it's not where it is layers in this case that are changing. It's actually differences on that day. So one of the things we can do is we could have different mix heights. So if you took the height of the volume of air and you mixed the thin concentration of the aerosols through a thicker layer, it would decrease the concentration. So one of the things I looked at is the average height of the 12 base on different days. And so these are the days, and then I have them for the different targets that we had on the different days. Any cases are about 1 kilometer above ground level. July 9th cases are quite a bit higher. So that would be one idea that you can use through the rare. And you just decrease the concentration because of this mixer. And that has been, it does go that in the right direction that there is a decrease. So this is one thing that we can take into operation is look at that sort of a forecast. Have the same concentrations, and if you have lower crawl bases, you have higher CCN concentrations. So the average lot of target cases up, come up with a height for each day, and you can see again, this in the mean average, there's quite a bit of difference, almost twice this height of the 12 base on July 9th. So that indicates that that's an important parameter that would adjust the CCN concentrations. Another idea is to look at where did the aerosols come from. You know, was this just a case that you had a lot of smoke or a lot of air mixing down that was higher in concentration? We have a different source. So we can look at back trajectories. This is the back trajectories using the ice grip model. Looking at where we are sampling here and here and see where the air mass came back from, if there's a particularly different area. So this is North Dakota, given right here, and this is where our sampling location is. And this is a 24-hour back trajectory showing you where that air mass came from at the 12 days. And then this is the height profile to show you how it's changed. And a lot of times you see that the air comes up from below, that there's not a lot of sinking air. At least to get back here 18 hours previously. But you see that there's a little bit of difference, that there might have been some elevated smoke out west, got elevated and mixed down. So that was one of the ideas that we trace this back to a high smoke aerosol source. So that was July 8th. These are the last projections on July 9th. Again, it comes from north, comes from Canada, basically the same direction, not a big change in wind direction or wind source area. It doesn't have this big loop. The profile, you know, always comes from below. There's nothing that comes down. So maybe that's an indication that on a previous day we could have some long range. This would be more mobile. One of the things to look at in terms of the sources for the aerosols, and we would have to look at more than just one case to, you know, get any conclusions on this, but that's an idea to look at the source region. The other thing we have now is we have the DMC CCN counter, which can be run continuously. It doesn't have pads that you have to be back. So we run it 24 hours a day. You have to add water every week or so. So these are the measurements from the DMT CCN counter at the surface. One measurement every 10 minutes. We have the concentrations again at SDC, and this is for the entire sampling period, started at the end of June, going into the middle of October. So this is the day of the year in 2012. And this is interesting in terms of, I have 10 minute measurements, and then this is just 0.6% ambient concentration. So we ran 0.2, 0.3, and 0.6. And this data has been processed to, when we change the supersaturation, it takes a while for the instrument to stabilize. So it takes us 10 minutes to make a whole supersaturation spectrum. Only about 1.5 minutes of that data is actually usable. So we have to throw away all the other ones and adjust in to do the temperature setting. So what we can use in a second, we only have, for example, 30 seconds of data that we average in a 10-minute period to come up with one data point. So this is 30 seconds of data averaged every 10 minutes. What we want to point out is that there are some quite big variations in terms of the CCN concentration, you know, as low as a couple hundred number per cubic centimeter, with values going in several thousand. So the question is now, let's look at this particular day on July 8th and 9th. July 8th is day 190, July 9th is 191. So right here is when we did the aircraft flights. So this is the measurements every 10 minutes from the surface measurements. And you can see on July 8th, there's this big plume that we saw on the surface before we did the flights. Here's the flights, and you know, roughly corresponds with the Wyoming counter. However, on the next day, you know, we see this, again, pretty high elevated rate, but then there's this fall. So are we really sampling this when we're sampling the aircraft? So there are these distinct big plumes that you can see with the detailed measurement that go through. So this is really interesting, and we need to study this some more. And then just putting this together, we always like to use some technology and stuff. So I've thrown together a couple satellite images with our flight tracks here given in green and the high split back trajectories. This is the MODIS image from Terra on the 8th. Kind of would have been before we start sampling, so they're not overlaying time in terms of the satellite image. But you can see this is the cloud system that we're targeting on the 8th. And then on the 9th, this is Aqua, which is after the aircraft flight. So these are the clouds that we were targeting while they were in North Dakota. And that's what happened, and fell on them. And you can see the rudder, copy rudder chemist clouds with 250 meter resolution, aqua modus satellite image. And now we can combine all these data together and show them as a nice little plot. So in conclusions, you know, there's a lot more variations in CCN from day to day than on each flight. However, there's a lot of variations on the different days. We can sample that. The days that we do cloud seeded, the atmosphere is well mixed, gives us a good confidence that we can use the CCN measurement as surface to be used for to infer what it is at 12 days. But it's not clear what case by case, why these changes occur. And you know, you would need a more sophisticated model. And so we'd like to make these measurements to try to develop some of these models. And now we have a data set that we can actually test the models. So some future work, still processing the DMP data, a lot of work to remove the data, come up with synthesization spectrums. We can easily calculate out a statistic for all the flight days, a lot of surface measurements we made. Also, we could do long-term analysis to see how the aerosols were July compared to August compared to June. And then we can look at the chemistry and see how that's important to the changes. You know, if there's changes in the chemistry, that will make a difference to the CCN. And also investigate how CCN concentrations affect precipitation. Look at modern studies and work modeling of the precipitation. So we can change the CCN concentration from a low value to a high value and see what that does. So with that, I'll take questions.
Time for a question or two.
David, are any potential local sources of CCN from Fargo that would impact the surface thickness?
No, typically we don't see anything like from the airport and stuff on the profiles, particularly not after we take off. There might be something if you're taxiing behind another aircraft or something, but all the profiles I showed were above the surface right here. But even when we look at surface measurements, they're pretty good. Like if we're taxing around there, it's pretty well mixed. We don't have any big plumes for that. There's a question, like if we're measuring Grand Forks then, for example, are there plumes maybe from local sources? So again, I'd love to have another counter that we could put out at our field site west of the airport, and then we can make a comparison measurement. A couple measurements I didn't show you was we do have an AeroNet site there that gives us an optical depth measurements that I want to compare to the CCN measurements. So that's one thing we can look at and see how they are correlated to see if these are there. And also we can look at the aerosol spectrum measurements, size distribution measurements, to determine if there's more of a local pollution source. So there's a lot of things we can look at with all these measurements to kind of determine if there's local pollution sources and look at all these case studies.
Okay, thank you again, David. Thank you, sir.
If you want it. Yes. We need to do this in Texas.